Welcome to the Light Reading Podcast. I'm Kelsey Zeiser. I'm a senior editor at Light Reading.
I'm Phil Harvey. I'm also an editor at Light Reading.
Good to see you, Phil.
Good to see you, Kelsey. How's things?
Good. So today we were talking with Buddy Bayer with Colt. He recently moved over from Windstream. And we talked a little bit about a IT survey that Colt recently issued and some of the interesting points that the IT professionals were focused on around AI security. We talked a little bit about quantum computing. Yeah. We got into him about network infrastructure, which was really interesting.
Yeah, we took the excuse of a broad, far-reaching survey. I think they surveyed over 1,000 IT leaders in 12 countries across the U.S., Europe, Asia, and they, you know, those are kind of Colt's primary customers and customer base. And we used the publication of that survey as an excuse for a template to interview Buddy about his new role in the company, and also kind of where he might see, investment opportunities and optimism in the tech industry.
We definitely had a lot of, he had some interesting insights on where AI is going and some focus on new revenue streams there. So I think with that, we will turn it over to the podcast with Buddy Bayer with Colt. Buddy Bayer, welcome to the Light Reading Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Kelsey. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah.
Buddy,
and we also have Phil Harvey here with Light Reading.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut anybody off, but just wanted to say thanks for being here.
All good. Good to see you as well, Phil. Good to be here.
Go back in your corner, Phil.
Okay, see ya.
Buddy, so you've had a long amazing career. Tell us a little bit about yourself and also your role at Colt right now.
Absolutely. I'll give you the 2-minute version, maybe a minute version here on myself. I've been in the industry about 30 years. I'm an engineer by trade, so I spent a lot of my career on the engineering and operations side. I've absolutely had a great career in working with different types of companies, from WorldCom to Quest to CenturyLink to Windstream. But I've also had a chance to do some startups, like a company called OnFiber. So I've had a chance to be in big companies, little companies, and I've fulfilled roles from engineering to operations. I've also had product teams and sales teams. And so I've had a chance to be part of the entire P&L statement, if you will, from an industry perspective, which has given me some broad perspective over my career. I recently, as you pointed out, have joined Colt here at the beginning of the year. And so I'm excited to be here. This is a global digital infrastructure company that has in some exciting times right now. There's some great advancement taking place on the technology front. There's Colt's known for its customer experience. It's, the best in class. So I get a chance to participate in taking us to the next level on many fronts as we transform what we provide as services, as well as what that customer service looks like in the future, as well as what technology, and you know the technology front right now is just tremendous with expansion and opportunity. So Colt's right in the middle of it, and I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, good deal. And congratulations on the new role. So Colt recently conducted a survey of, I think, around 1,000 IT professionals, and would love to dig into that more with you. Can you give us a little bit of background on the survey? Is this something that Colt's, does regularly? And what were some of kind of the goals broadly behind doing this survey?
Yes, this is one of the, of course, coming on new to Colt. This is one of the recent discoveries I've had as well with the survey. And it's a proprietary survey that we put out to over 1,000, CIO leaders in the industry across our expanded base, if you will. And it covers, if you want to think about Europe, U.S. territories, as well as Asia. So we have a good reach across many aspects, if you will. We hit 12 countries specifically with this particular survey. And it kind of dives into what's top of mind for them. What's their priority set? What they're looking for?
Do the results in terms of their priorities, does that line up well with what you were thinking as you're entering this new role? And also with your own observations, given your background in the industry?
Yeah, no, that's a good question, Phil. Absolutely. I think you were seeing some, I'll call it typical trend sets, focus areas, and I can kind of go into depth on a few of those for you. But the one surprising thing for me that really stood out in the survey that was unexpected was 8 out of 10 of the leaders that we put the survey out to said that they expect to invest, increase their tech budgets around technology and what's going on taking place. So that was a really good indicator because of coming through kind of a pandemic in some areas in the world, a recession. It's really good to see that the majority, a large majority are starting to come back to the, you know, investment pool and starting to put capital into areas of what technology advancements look like. I thought that was a really good indicator.
Yeah, it seems like it's especially encouraging given the last couple of years because, you know, 5G got out there in the broader telecom industry. And I guess people were expecting a bigger uplift in terms of maybe earnings, revenue, size of companies and things like that. And all it really did was, I mean, this sounds like I'm being negative, but all it really did was make the network better, which is great because that sets you up for lots of great things to come. But there seemed to be this kind of, cloud over the industry about, you know, why it wasn't more of an impact immediately, you know, when 5G yeah. was switched on. I think we might be getting ahead of ourselves, and maybe this survey is sort of hinting that people are still investing steadily in technology. They haven't stopped really. And some of the things that you're probably going to spotlight in this are pretty out there, investments. So they're looking pretty far down the road in terms of when some of these things will happen. Do you want to kind of get into some of those sort of spotlight areas?
I think one, you're calling out, you know, kind of infrastructure play really, right? There's a technology and infrastructure play that does have a long lasting effect in the marketplace. I just recently attended Metro Connect in the US there, where there was a lot of bankers and investors kind of getting together and talking about where the industry's going and where the investment opportunities are taking place. And the three key areas that kept on coming to surface in the discussion was around power. Power is definitely a conversation because I think Elon Musk has said a couple of days ago, there's going to be a almost like a fight between AI as well as, electric vehicles and what's taking place and how much electricity is going to be available for us to do these advancements simultaneously. So power was a big topic. But the infrastructure piece that you're referencing, data center expansion and the money that's being put into, you know, doing more, not just the tier one peering points and not just the data lake type data centers, but the tier three, tier four, smaller edge, further out kind of data centers. A lot of investment is being poured into that. The fiber infrastructure to support that, a lot of conversation around that. And then AI, of course, is a hot topic across everybody's. And that was part of our survey. We kind of dove into that a little bit. One of the call outs that I saw, people are really wanting to invest in, if you will. They said they want to improve their position on security by 40%. 40% of the responses said that we want to improve our security posture and get a little bit stronger in that area. About 31% of them came back and said, in my top three priorities, AI. I want to be involved in generative AI. I want to have data sets that are more useful, more capable, if you will. And then the third area was around network flexibility. You know, still coming out of post COVID era, if you will, people are still looking for network flexibility and different types of structures. You got cloud play going on, but you also have private cloud starting to come on the scene pretty strong as well. So you've got different types of architectures that people are trying to deploy in their strategies that's become relevant. So those were kind of the big ones that came out of when we asked them, what's your top three focus areas? Was security. Once again, the AI piece, as well as, kind of focused in around the flexibility.
Interesting. Kelsey, if you have a question about something, and I'll put a pin in, I want to come back to network flexibility. I just wanted to say that out loud so I'd remember.
Yeah, I was curious if you were able to dive into, in terms of AI, are they looking to Colt to support development of new AI applications and deploying those workloads?
Yeah, I think one of the interesting statements we asked them around AI and kind of their involvement around that is, you know, what percent or what area are you focused in on, if you will? And a lot of people are starting to look at, you know, AI as well as some other applications as a way of generating revenue. So, you know, that was kind of an interesting kind of view, is it's not just a means for them to work and to operate more efficient or effectively, but it could be data and insights, or maybe even if you think about a process improvement that could help them recognize revenue potentials. And I thought that was kind of an interesting take on the outcome that we saw. So that was like 25% of the respondents came back with they're going to use their IT infrastructure to explore new revenue streams for themselves. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And leveraging us, yes, I think there is, you know, an opportunity to say, how do we come together and how do we start to work on, once again, it's more the data insight opportunity that they could leverage and impact the reach that Colt has in the community. If you look at the worldwide reach that we have, that's a value add to a lot of people, and being able to leverage our reach, our capabilities with maybe their data and their insights and what they're generating from their AI initiatives, that could be a powerful value add for them exponentially.
Yeah, definitely. Because, I mean, we hear in general a lot about, you know, AI for customer support, for chatbot type mm-hmm. of situations. But yeah, that's interesting to hear about it as a way to, you know, it sounds like they're starting to think outside the box a little bit versus the, you know, kind of go-to ideas of what you would use for AI. Yeah.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. I think that's their approach. I think the other piece too to think about is one of the things that, you know, sustainability was a topic that we asked about, and we got about 20% of the respondents came back and said sustainability is a top three priority for them, which is good. I think that's an evolving aspect for a lot of companies, and people are kind of starting to get an understanding of it. And as AI grows and as the impact of AI starts to be relevant in this space, people are cognizant and becoming, they're becoming more cognizant of it, if you will. But one of the things, for instance, we're working on is we're looking at how we route traffic. We can get carbon footprints in data centers. We can get carbon footprints in our amp sites. And so we can start to literally lay down pathways that are more green than other as far as network solutions are concerned. And that's something we can offer back into the community as well for those that are trying to expand in this area and trying to do more in this area. And they're trying to, that's insights we can provide them that gives them a chance to really kind of push their sustainability efforts a little bit harder. So you can see collaboration occurring from that aspect too, as we develop our capabilities and allow them to leverage it.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I was going to sort of look at whether their conflicting goals, you know, pursuing AI as a revenue generator, mm-hmm. which means massive investment, time commitment, but more importantly, you've got to get, as I understand it, I'm not an AI expert, but you've got to get computing resources to be able to do the inference phase sort of closer to wherever it needs to be done. So that means, you know, you got to put stuff in buildings and, you know, cool it and
a lot more buildings. Yes.
Yeah. And so I think with sustainability goals, you know, if you're, I'm not saying companies can't pursue those both at the same time, but it does seem to come at an interesting point when the interest in AI has never been higher. And then people are also saying, yeah, but I don't want to, you know, completely burn the earth down while I'm right. pursuing this. So
that's right.
I'm curious as to like, you answered one of those questions is how does a company like Colt help in that endeavor? And I like what you were saying, like looking at your own network, seeing what optimal paths you can use to use less energy, you know, from end to end and that sort of thing. So there's definitely ways that can happen. I have heard of other industries too, trucking and airlines and things like that, how they're sort of re-looking at their routes, you know, that they take to different things and saying like maybe doing a bit more batch work, a bit more rerouting, figuring out what's urgent, what's not urgent, and you know, and then adapting accordingly. And that also you know, steadily reduces the number of whatever the unit is we're using to measure
the carbon footprint, if you want to think of it that way. That's internally what we're doing. If you think about just end of life strategies, we're updating our network. We're getting rid of the older technologies. We're sunsetting them. That in itself is absolutely a sustainability effort. We're doing more or saving more inside of our own infrastructure, if you will. You know, even changing out our vehicles to electric vehicles, that's an effort that's been ongoing. That these are things that we can do inside of our network to, you know, kind of put our foot forward and how we're going to support sustainability. And then, like I said, now we take AI type of opportunities and start to look at path, you know, routing through different parts of the world that may be more green than others, and how, you know, our end customers can leverage that. I think that's where we create a greater value for them. So it is a good conversation. Like I said, it's about 20% of them starting to put this in a top three priority set. So it's good to see there's an evolving state taking place right now in this area. And I think you're right. AI's kind of drawn attention to it because of the such demand for facilities, power, heat dissipation, things of that nature is really an exponential level higher than we've ever seen.
Do you mind if we pivot back to network flexibility for a second? I kind of wanted to know what that means in the context of the survey, because you touched on it a little bit, but also like what Colt's vision, you know, is, or what you sort of feel like a flexible network looks like.
Yeah, a primary focus was with regards to, you know, how they're looking at their centralized focus versus remote locations and how they're kind of starting creating a different architecture for their own internal networks. And so 23% of them came back as this being one of their main focus areas. And they said, you know, this is really about us creating a new architecture that enables more remote workforce locations, if you will. So we saw, you know, locations like the Netherlands and Germany, there and Hong Kong, all of those countries are really kind of pushing this issue even more so. They're closer to the 30% mark, if you will. So it's really about, once again, looking at their network, how they operate their network, maybe where they locate their data centers, maybe where they locate their people, and how do they, you know, make that where it's more flexible. And also think about as we decentralize our workforce, it gives you an opportunity to really leverage talent in different areas. And so it kind of creates an advantage for them in that regard. And so that was at least kind of where the conversation took place in the survey. Mm-hmm. Now, what we can't do, all we get is the answer back. We can't go into the why they're doing certain things. So, you know, there's speculation on some of that, Phil. We can't go too far down that path because the survey is just getting a perspective. But this is what we're getting back from them, that it is a value. It is important. They're looking for flexible solution sets as they work with us.
I think the talent thing's a good example of the need for a flexible network, because one of the other things we hear from the industry a lot is that they can't get enough skilled people quickly enough, you know? And so I think those two go hand in hand. If you're more flexible and you can reach more places, you can find those people wherever they are, and maybe they don't have to move to, you know, New Jersey or Dallas or wherever the big telco sort of headquarters are. Maybe right. They can live wherever.
I'm a classic example of that. You know, joining Colt, you know, I'm living in the U.S. When our headquarters is in London, but we have operations in, you know, Europe, APAC, everywhere else. So we're a global company, but I get a chance to participate in that global scene working in a remote location. And for me, I think I get to give a perspective that might be a little different than some of the others give, and vice versa. I get to see their perspective that's going to be different than mine from, you know, my past experiences and things of that nature. So it creates more diversity as far as, you know, how we sit at the table and we solve problems. It creates a different view, a more diverse view, if you will.
Kelsey, last question is yours, because I think we got to wrap up.
Yeah, I was curious about quantum computing, just to totally divert in a different direction. But is that becoming a bigger priority for, you know, your customers, folks in the survey? Yeah. And we also talked a little bit about security as a top priority. So how, you know, is that a concern for quantum computing as well?
They're linked, aren't they? I mean, we didn't go into specific details on quantum in our survey, but you know, you're absolutely correct. And looking forward, it's funny, I was having a discussion with an industry leader one time, and he kind of set the page. He said, you know, you realize when compute came out, you had mainframes and dumb terminals. And then fast forward into the 80s, we started having the compute power at the personal, you know, computer level. So we kind of pushed the compute down to the personal level. Then the internet came along and we kind of pushed it back to the cloud, mainframe-like. And then our dumb terminals became our phones. And then, you know, we're kind of seeing this cyclical pattern take place in our industry. And so now we have these, you know, concentrated data centers. And now we're talking about creating edge data centers. And so we're creating, we kind of go back and forth in this cycle. Well, for me, you know, I'm looking at quantum as it's the next major milestone that just takes AI and the world of machine to machine type of compute power to another level. And if you think about it, even go back to 2000, you remember 2000 when we had all the dot-coms, everybody's like, hey, this internet thing, we could create e-commerce and we can make a lot of money. Let's all create a dot-com. And a lot of them failed. But if you remember in 2004, GPS came along and those applications really became viable and created value for us as an end user. And then you saw tons of things take off from that point. And that's a small kind of almost forward look to what quantum's going to be for AI. It's like quantum's going to give that next generation compute power for us to advance. Think about healthcare and advancing trials and research and things of that nature. It's just really going to propel, but it's going to be a lot on the machine to machine level first. The end user won't see it quite. So going back to the main terminal, you know, mainframe to mainframe, it's kind of like that. We're going to see a lot of capacity, compute infrastructure, all of that taking place on that level. And we're going to see the benefits on the other side, if you will, once the machine to machine takes off. So it is a conversation piece. It is linked to security because of what we understand quantum's capability and compute. A lot of the security protocols that we have today can be broken, right, with quantum. So there's a whole nother level of security that comes into play, which will absolutely foster a whole nother revolution of everybody from a network perspective, amping up and developing new techniques around the capabilities and securing their networks. So it's coming. Everybody's got their opinions on when it takes place. You know, my perspective and what I'm seeing and how I'm kind of understanding the industry, I think we'll start to really see, you know, in the next 3 to 5 years, that machine to machine really take off. The infrastructure is happening right now. You know, I have built routes in the past where I'm watching a lot of, you know, companies, hyperscalers and beyond even hyperscalers, buying up a ton of fiber assets right now to create the infrastructure to support what we're talking about, this machine to machine with quantum. So, and some of those hyperscalers are absolutely in the works with quantum as we speak, right? So they're kind of the forward ones setting the stage for us, but I think you're going to see a continuation through the industry. So stage has been set. There's going to be a play for all of us in that. But I think once again, back to that earlier comment, power, infrastructure are the two main items right now.
Absolutely. Okay. I think we can leave it there. Buddy Bear, thanks so much for taking some time. I know you just finished a long haul flight. So thanks for staying up. And
absolutely. I didn't nod off, did I, at any point? I didn't.
No.
I saw a hand reach over with a cup of coffee. No.
Yeah, I was trying to wake myself up. No. Kelsey, Phil, it's our pleasure to get a chance to do this. Anytime you want to have a sit down and talk about what's going on, we would love to do it. We've got some great things taking place here at Colt, and we are really advancing ourselves on the technology front. So anytime you want to have a chat, I'm open.
All right.
Yeah. Thanks so much.